Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 60. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here. Today, I'm talking directly to the submissives who think they're too much, too needy, or too anything else for a good DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter at kaylalords or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. So remember last week when I told you that if you pledged support on my Patreon for $5 or more a month, you could see video of John Brownstone spanking my ass? Well, that's still the case, y'all. That's still totally the case. But I've added another option for people who would prefer not to go through Patreon, which is a totally legitimate thing. So a listener reached out to me a few days ago and said, here, take my money. Let me see the videos, take my money, but please don't make me do it through Patreon. And it took me a few days. poor person. He was very, very patient with me. But I think I figured out a way. And it's not sexy and it's not cute and it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, but it is a legitimate thing. I now have a membership side to my website. Now, if you go to kaylalords.com, you're still going to be able to see all the blog posts. You're going to be able to see the podcast. You're going to be able to get access to everything that's already there. But now you can actually, through my website, sign up and pay for access to the videos that will be released each month of whatever John Brownstone does to my ass. So I have two options if that's something you're interested in. And you'll see it on the membership signup page. But one is a monthly recurring payment of $5. The other is one-time flat rate fee of $50. It gets you access for the year. The $5 a month option means if for whatever reason you don't pay for a month, you lose your access. Okay. That's why I wanted to offer the flat fee for a year kind of thing. So you can do that if that's something you're interested in. Now you're not going to get the other things I offer on Patreon. So you're not going to get early access to my writing before it's published. You're not going to get access to the other video I do once a month of me staring at my phone and talking. But you, if all you want or are interested in is the spanking stuff and the kink stuff. We don't quite know how that's going to evolve, but we know it's going to evolve into other things. If that's all you want, you can do it through my website now, okay? And like I said, it's not, you know, cool like other membership sites might be. It's stripped down and just that for now. So it's an option. Spanking videos, kaylalords.com. Use the link in the show notes page. If you happen to go to my website, there should be a link that says join or become a member, but it might be easier to go through the show notes page. So that's all I have to say about that for now. Okay, enough. Let's move on. Let's talk about the good stuff. So this week, as you can tell, it is just me, which means there will be nobody reining me in when I start to ramble. I apologize now. And it means I don't have anybody to giggle and laugh with and tease and go, daddy, and all that fun stuff I like to do. It's a very strange thing when he's not sitting here with me. I actually keep looking to my left for him. Side note, I get the comfy chair to sit in when I do the show by myself. So, you know, there is that. There's that one little teeny tiny benefit. But when he can't be with me for a show, and this week he's doing a lot of stuff out in his shop, hopefully he's finishing up some paddles that he's been working on for a couple weeks. I think they just needed another coat of some chemical thing. It's wood stuff. I don't know. I just say spank me with it. Anyway, and he's building stuff and he's putting stuff together and he's got craft fairs going on. He's got all this stuff. So he's like, baby girl, could you do the show without me? Yeah, I guess if I have to. The way I try and do a show if I have to do it by myself is I want it to be a topic that I don't feel loses something without a dominant perspective. Like, we can always use both sides, and anything we talk about, it's always good. You'll get something from hearing both a submissive perspective and a dominant perspective, but some topics, no, really, you need both perspectives to get kind of a complete idea. So I kind of had to go searching. Normally, I have to go searching for a topic, but as usual, people are helping me out without meaning to. Over the past several days, I've gotten multiple messages from submissives who have said things that I used to say myself, before I met John Brownstone, before I got comfortable in our relationship, where I started realizing, no, this can last. This really is real. This isn't a figment of my imagination. This isn't too good to be true. I mean, sometimes I do stuff to pinch myself, but then he does something weird and I go, oh no, he's real and this is real and we're good. And these are myths, and I believe that they're myths. Okay. I don't think these things are true across the board for all submissives. They're myths that I believed. And the reason I think it's worthy of a topic is because y'all are sending me messages saying the same exact thing about yourself that I used to say about myself. Okay. So I'm going to go through the ones that are top of mind, and then I'm just going to sort of talk about it in general, about why in general, all of these things are not true. Okay. So here they are. And you know, I kind of wish I had like a buzzer or something so you could like buzz in and go, yes, I that is it. Yes, I believe that, because y'all are going to recognize it. If you're a submissive, single submissive who has had some bad relationships, you've been dumped, you've had amicable partings, but you really didn't want them. You wanted to have your DS relationship. You are likely going to recognize some of yourself in here. Okay. So here they are, no particular order. You think you are too much as a human being, too much as a submissive, too much as a kinkster. There's just you want too much. You ask for too much. You yourself are somehow too much for any one dominant to handle. The other one is you're too needy. You know, it's right. It goes hand in hand with feeling like you're too much. Clearly you quote need too much. And that's why these dominants are, you know, walking away, running away, dropping you, ghosting you, whatever they may be doing. It's because you're asking so much, and you need so much attention and so much love and so much care. And clearly it is just impossible for any one human being to keep up with. Guess what? That's wrong. That's false. That's a myth. On the flip side, you start thinking that you're not enough. I can't give these dominant partners what they want. Clearly the problem is with me. I'm not enough somehow. The other one, and this one is harder to argue because it's such a personal decision you have to make, is that maybe you're not cut out to be a submissive. Maybe submission is wrong for you. And the reason I include that in the myths, it's not that you can think you're interested in DS, think you're interested in BDSM, live or be in a relationship as a submissive and then go, no, this isn't for me, and walk away from it. That happens all the time. And there is not a thing wrong with that. Okay. The reason I include the maybe I'm not cut out for DS in the list of myths is because deep down, you know you're submissive. You want it so bad. But the taste of submission you've had hasn't worked out. The dominant partner that you had for 6 months up and left you and said, it didn't say it was me. It wasn't you. It was me. They said, oh, it's you. I can't handle you. Okay, that's an asshole. First of all, that's not how you should break up with somebody. But two, that's just one person. Okay. If deep down you still think to yourself, I have these tendencies. I have this way that I want to show my love. I have this way that I want to have sex. Then you're believing, when you tell yourself that maybe you're not cut out to be a submissive, you're believing a myth. You're believing something that isn't necessarily true. And it's a reaction to how other people have treated you. Okay. The other one, maybe I'm unlovable. I'm pretty sure that even the worst serial killer ever is still lovable. Maybe only by their mother. They're still lovable. Everybody is lovable to somebody. Just because you keep coming across, for different reasons, the people who can't love you or don't want to love you, does not mean that you yourself are unlovable. I'm a bother. I hear that a lot. I'm a bother. You know, I send one text message in 24 hours. Clearly, I am just breathing down my partner's neck. No, you're not. Can we become bothersome? Would it be wrong of me as a submissive to say that sometimes I don't bother the fuck out of John Brownstone? Okay, yes, sometimes I do. But in general, as a human being in a relationship, thinking that you're just a bother and that's why you can't find the partner that wants to stay with you, that's a myth that you're believing. And sometimes we talk about being too much, and that's the first one I mentioned. Well, I'm going to end with asking too much. And what I mean is you're a submissive who wants a dominant to sort of fulfill kind of this laundry list of things, right? You want them to be a certain type of dominant. You want them to have, you know, to be willing to attempt certain kinks or fetishes. You have desires. Maybe you're a masochist. Maybe you're a rope bunny. You want them to do those things with you or allow you to have the outlet to experience those things. And so when they can't or won't or don't do those things, you internalize that as, well, I'm just asking too much. I'm just asking too much of my partner. Okay, so those are the ones I could think of. And I'm sure anybody who has nodded along at all has thought of other things. These things we tell ourselves that are negative, that put the entire responsibility of the failure or success of a relationship on our own shoulders. Okay, y'all, we got to stop that. Every relationship involves however many people in it, because I want to make sure we include, you know, poly and stuff like that, you know, be nice and inclusive. But for simplicity's sake, every relationship involves at least two people, okay? We're DS here, so we're talking dominance and submissives. Submissives, when a relationship fails, short of you doing every single thing a dominant said, I cannot accept. You lied, you cheated, you stole, you whatever. All those things that people do and where they fuck up. Most of the time, if a relationship didn't work out, it's not all your fault, okay? That, to me, is where a lot of this comes from. Because you've just... typical of many submissives, we feel like we bear the responsibility. Our job is to serve. Our job is to please. Our job is to submit. Our job is to care for the other person. Our job is to take care of our dominant. And if they are unsatisfied in the relationship, I know how a lot of us work. In our heads, we immediately internalize and go, oh, well, clearly it's my fault. If I had submitted better, if I had cared for my partner better, if I had served my partner better, if I had pleased my partner more, I would still be in this DS relationship. And I know that it's easy to feel that way, especially as a submissive, when we have that, that's part of our responsibility in a DS relationship is to do those things. But I need you to step back for a minute, okay? I need you to remember something. You're not the only one in this relationship, and you are not the only one who can keep a relationship going. Now, I have real world experience with that, both with my first DS relationship, where after he very calmly, very nicely, very respectfully said, you're great, you're wonderful, it's been fun, I can't do this anymore. I tried to keep that relationship going. He kind of, I won't say he allowed it, but he did not interrupt my thought process there for probably a week. And then even then in my head, I went, well, you know, if I just, this is an act of submission. If I just continue to be the submissive he wanted me to be, I'm readying myself for when he's ready to come back and look, this is me being a good submissive. Okay. So I have that kind of experience, and I know I'm not alone with that. I have read people's blogs. I have listened to people talk about the end and the death of their DS relationships. And I know I'm not the only one who has been there, done that. But I also have in my vanilla life, I have tried to carry a relationship, y'all. I have tried to be the one to make a relationship work. It was called my marriage. you know, I'd like to be objective in viewing my marriage and say, oh, well, he did these things, X, Y, and Z, and that's how he contributed. And if I was feeling generous, maybe if I squinted and thought really hard, I could come up with some things. But quite frankly, I worked. I took care of the house. I took care of the kids. I worried. I paid the bills. I took care of the family. Part of that was my submissive nature I didn't even know about, okay? The way I show love is to take care of the people around me. You know, do you have enough to eat? Do you... You know, you get the bigger piece of chicken when we eat chicken for dinner. I'll fill your drink before I'll fill my drink. You know, that's how I show I care about people. That's just a part of who I am. So what happened was my husband went, oh, this is nice. And he was, for his own reasons, incapable of reciprocating that. So I ended up shouldering a lot of the burdens in my marriage, in our relationship, that should have been shared. Yes, if you haven't figured out about me, I'm pretty straightforward and blunt, and I do ask for and demand what I need. Even then, even in the vanilla world, I absolutely did that, and I didn't get it. But I thought, if I just keep working really hard at this, I can keep this relationship going. I can make this work. I can fix it. I can make it better. Guess what? No, I couldn't. I mean, I could have kept going, but I would have continued to be an extremely unhappy, bitter woman who had no good sex and who felt weird and out of place in every sexual experience she had. Why? Because I was kinky, and I didn't even know it was kinky. That's the other side to being a kinkster in a vanilla relationship and denying who you are and not being willing to learn about who you are. That's a whole other conversation. But my point is, when you think, for whatever reason, that you are the sole responsible party in a relationship and that you alone can keep it going, and so that when it fails, then clearly it must be your fault, that's a problem with the way you're thinking about relationships, okay? These things are supposed to be partnerships. Vanilla or kink, it doesn't matter, okay? And I recognize that in DS, as a submissive, because we focus so much on serving our dominance and what we can do for our dominance, when the relationship fails, it's very easy to sort of go, okay, what did I do wrong? Because if I had done it all a little better, if I had kneeled a little more, if I had said, you know, please, sir, just a little bit better, maybe things would be better. And that's not true. That's not how it works. No matter what flavor your relationship is, this is two people that need to come together and find a certain level of compatibility that makes both sides happy. Okay. So in previous shows, y'all know I've said it, I don't hide my feelings about the posers and the wannabes and the assholes and the crappy dominants who give the good ones a bad name. We all know they're out there. And for those submissives who sort of keep finding them, I can see where you'd get discouraged, because it does sort of feel like the entire world is filled with these kinds of people posing as dominants, and they're you know, leaving a bad taste in your mouth every time a relationship with them ends. Maybe it's, you figure it out, you know, hopefully by the second or third time you're figuring it out quicker and you're dumping them, but it still hurts and it still sucks. And sometimes you really want to believe that this time all those red flags you're seeing and all those signs, it's just your imagination, and this time it'll work, and then it doesn't. So you're left with a broken heart. You're left disappointed. You're left angry. On the flip side, sometimes it was a halfway decent relationship and it was, just didn't work, and it was an amicable parting. So I want to make it very clear that I have complete disdain for the people who give themselves the title of dominant but do nothing to earn it. They don't educate themselves. They are more abusers than anything. They don't respect consent. They don't respect the lifestyle. They don't care about safety. Those guys, I say guys, I know it could be women. Those dominants, I have no use for them, okay? They are what I do my best to educate other submissives about so that they can avoid them. On the flip side, there are those dominants that they're not perfect, okay? No person is perfect. No dominant is perfect. Get your dominant off the pedestal you've put them on, because eventually they'll fall, and that's going to suck. But they're people, okay? They're doing the best they can. They have their own understanding of how BDSM works. They have their own desires, their own kinks, the things that make them as an individual happy, okay? Perfect world scenario, you meet that dominant, submissive friend out there, you meet that dominant and y'all align, okay? You won't necessarily automatically align. There may be some negotiation. There may be some give and take of, okay, I don't really enjoy that kink, so I don't want to do that with you, but I enjoy this kink. Let's do that, right? You don't perfectly align, but you can match up and make it work. And that's what, if you're listening to my show, I would imagine that's what you want. It's what I wanted. I didn't know what it would look like. I didn't know what form it would take, but that's what I wanted. Before I even met John Brownstone, that's what I thought I wanted. What I really wanted, let's be honest, I had read some blogs of some great BDSM couples, and they were really kinky and they were really loving. And they had this, just from what they presented online, they had this all around good relationship that just happened to have a power exchange in it. And that's what I wanted. I would point to these blogs and go, I want that. What I thought I meant was I want what I'm reading on this, on my screen. What I realized I meant was I want my version of that, because I didn't want exactly what they had. I wanted what made me feel like I felt when I read about their relationship. Now, it's taken me a few years to get there, and John Brownstone and I work on our relationship every day. But to me, I'm kind of proof that you can have that, but you have to change your expectations, and you have to understand that this dominant that you're going to come across is not the dominant of whatever erotic fiction you have read, okay? They are going to have their own insecurities. They're going to have their own past. They're going to have their own issues. They're going to have their own personality. And in a wonderful, perfect world, the two of you will align and your personalities will mesh in such a way and your kinks might mesh in such a way that whatever your differences are, you're willing to work through them, okay? However, what becomes more common is you match up, you meet up, and one or two things align and it feels good for a while, and then something changes and you're left alone. And if you're a submissive who has believed any of the myths that I have listed, you think, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. It's me. I asked for too much. I wanted too much. I expected too much. I called them too much. I came by their house too much. I wanted to sleep in their bed too much. Whatever it was, you think you've done it. You think you've wrecked this relationship. Or you think you can't find the right dominant for you. You recognize this dominant is not the one, but you think you can't find the dominant for you because there's something inherently wrong with you. And that's what I want you to understand today. That is not true. Okay. Do we all have things about our personalities and ourselves as human beings that we could possibly work on and get a little bit better? Absolutely. I've spent many years of my adult life learning how to be a better listener. I'm great at talking. I'm sure y'all haven't noticed. I'm an excellent communicator when it comes to here's what I think, here's my idea, here's how I will back that idea up. Okay. I don't do it a lot, but when I do it, I know what I'm doing, and I only do it when I'm confident. I only communicate when I'm really confident. However, I've always been a shitty listener. It's because the moment you start talking, my brain starts going, ooh, I know what I think about that. Let me make sure I remember to say this thing. And guess what? I'm not listening to what you're saying. So it's something I actively work on. I have hurt relationships because I couldn't listen. I could talk and I couldn't listen, right? I have insecurities out the ass, y'all. I've got plenty of insecurities. Well, that can kill a relationship. If you are so insecure, you can't even listen to your partner tell you something nice about you, you can kill a relationship that way. So I have spent my adult life working on my insecurities. So I don't want you to think that I'm telling you that you're perfect as you are and you have nothing to work on. We all have something to work on to have better relationships, not just sexual and loving relationships, but relationships with our parents, relationships with our kids, our friends, our cousins, whatever, our bosses. We all have something to work on. But just because your DS relationships are not necessarily working out the way you had hoped they would does not mean that there is inherently something wrong with you as a submissive, okay? You may be picking the wrong partner over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If you keep picking this idea you have in your mind of what the perfect person for you is, and you keep picking that type and keep picking that type and keep picking that type, and you keep getting your heart broken, I'ma bet you need to try something different, okay? And I say that again as somebody who did it, okay? The one thing I've never really changed, because it really does work for me, is my partners have all been male and they've all been older than I have. The least successful relationships I've had have been when the age gap was really close. My ex-husband is 7 years older than me. Maturity level wise, he's about 20 years younger, but whatever. The last partner I had before I discovered kink was exactly my age. I think he was 2 weeks younger. His birthday's like in November, mine's in October. And that was a disaster. I couldn't relate to him. I felt like I was talking to a kid. And he was an upstanding, responsible man with children and a good job. And it just didn't work for me. It's my personal preference, in relationships, older men. The two most successful, and I say most successful even though they both ended, but while they were good, they were great, were with men who were significantly older than me. And now John Brownstone is 18 years older than me. That works for me. Now, that's a thing I know to be true about myself. That's what I would, if I had to look for another partner today, which I'm not, but if I had to, that's where I would look first, because I know that can work for me. But here's what I thought also worked for me. They had to be really tall. They had to be really thin. They had to be practically hairless. I don't know what that was about. They had to be very outdoorsy. Now, why I would want an outdoorsy person, I don't know. I don't like the outside. Okay, there are bugs in the outside. I try not to go in the outside. But I just had this picture in my head. And along comes John Brownstone. And he's outdoorsy, likes to fish. He likes to be outside. He, you know, likes plants, but he doesn't expect me to be out there, so that's good. He is my height. He is not tall. He is not slender and gawky. Now, I have seen pictures of him from 20 plus years ago, and he was very, very thin. He's thinner than I am now, so it's not like he's, you know, roly-poly or anything. But he had these broad shoulders, but he's my height, stocky, and just like a bear, just covered in hair. And I used to think I didn't like that. And when I first sort of saw a picture and saw him, I went, oh, I don't, this can't work. I'm sure this can't work, because physically he was everything I said I didn't think I wanted. And then he is the same. Now I know not everybody cares about the signs. I'm a Scorpio. I love being a Scorpio. I'm a typical Scorpio. You look up a definition, any definition of Scorpio, that's me, y'all. That just is. And I'm sorry. My ex-husband was a Cancer. John Brownstone is a Cancer. My ex-husband worked in IT. John Brownstone works in IT. I almost rejected John Brownstone because he was too close to my ex. He was just like my ex on some really superficial levels. And I almost rejected him for all kinds of things, okay? So when I tell you to stop picking the same kind of person that keeps dumping you, I mean, even in the smallest way, okay? If you think you like really tall people, go for a short person. If you think you like, you know, really built, buffed out, you know, athletic guys, pick the soft one that sits on the couch a lot. You do not necessarily know what you will find the moment you look outside of what you think you want, okay? Especially if every relationship keeps ending. Do something different. The other thing I sort of want to impart is the reminder that both people in a relationship bear responsibility for the relationship, okay? And you can go into it thinking, yes, this person is the one. They pull my hair the way I love. Their dom voice makes me melt. Oh my gosh, they withhold orgasms better than anybody I've ever met. Yes, they do these things and I will be their perfect submissive and we will live happily ever after. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, years later, they look at you and go, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, I feel like I'm a bitch if I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think if you can look back objectively on your relationship after you get over the heartbreak, you will see where it was not as perfect as you thought it was, okay? However, that doesn't do you any good in the moment, so we're not talking about that right now. That's, you know, to do the postmortem on a relationship, you have to be clear-headed and not crying or drinking a lot of wine or thinking that you're the worst submissive ever, so that part takes time. So this perfect relationship probably was not as perfect as you thought it was. However, in the moment when you immediately do that gut clench of, oh my God, I'm not enough, or oh my God, I'm too much and that's why they're leaving me, that's when I want you to remember that the choices they make are about them, y'all. Yeah, were you not the person maybe that they want to spend the rest of their life with? Maybe. Guess what? You don't want to be with the person who doesn't want to be with you, okay? It hurts. It sucks. It's devastating. You feel like you've just shattered into a million pieces on the ground and you're thinking, how the hell am I supposed to put myself back together? I know. I remember that feeling. The reason that if you are a person who sends me a message that says, I just broke up with my dominant and I feel this way and I don't know what to do and I can't even breathe and I can't even sleep and I can't even eat. The reason that the very first thing I'm going to send you is a hug. Not just because I'm a nice person. I don't know if I am or not. I'll let other people decide. But it's because I know exactly how you feel. Because the moment you say that, the moment you type that out and I read that message, I am transported back 4 years ago. Almost exactly 4 years ago. It was in October of 2012 when I was just crushed. But the reason I can sit here today in October of 2016 and say this is not forever, what you are feeling and thinking right now is not necessarily true, is because I went through that. I went through that roller coaster of emotions of believing that I was clearly too needy. And if I had just hadn't asked for so much from this dominant, he would have stayed with me, right? I've told myself that. I also told myself that nobody stayed. Everybody left me. I was constantly abandoned by the people who said they liked me, they loved me, they wanted to take care of me, they wanted to fuck me, whatever. They all walked away. Now, that's not completely true because I walked away from my ex-husband, but even then I could make the argument that he walked away from that marriage years before I gave up on it, right? I was carrying that relationship by myself in an attempt to keep it together, to save it, to make him go back to being the person I thought he had been, right? So I feel like I can say on this side of things from my very comfy, nice, good relationship that people say, I want what you and John Brownstone have. I can tell you that it is possible to make it through the heartache, to make it through all those things you believe about yourself that aren't true, and find the good relationship. What I will not tell you is that you can have what John Brownstone and I have. Guess what? What John Brownstone and Kayla Lourdes have is what we build together every single day. You can have a fulfilling, happy, healthy DS relationship as long as you're willing to, one, work for it, two, be honest with yourself about who you are and what you want, and realize, and this is where the paradox, you also have to be willing to admit that what you think you want might not be what you really want. Now, I can tell you that I didn't really know what I wanted in a DS relationship. I truly thought I wanted to say yes, sir, and keep my eyes averted all the time and kneel as often as possible. And so that's sort of how we started. That's kind of how we were. And now I realize I'm a baby girl and I want to tease and I want to laugh and I want to, you know, verbally tweak my daddy and get him a little riled up and crazy. And yet I want to please him. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to love me. I want him to fuck me roughly. I want him to pull my hair. I want him to beat my ass until I want him to cuddle me. You know, the things I thought I wanted when I was having these failed relationships aren't the things that I ended up with that make me happy. So there's a lot of, you know, you have to go into your head and you have to be really honest and real with yourself, okay? But the first thing you need to do is to stop thinking that the death of a relationship, that this relationship that didn't work out was solely your fault. And if you had just somehow been the perfect submissive, whatever that is, you would have kept this person. It's much, much better to realize that you really liked that person. Maybe you loved that person. Maybe you could have had something good together. However, that person wants something different. And then once you've picked yourself up and you're not crying inconsolably and you're drinking a little less wine, you say, okay, good. Have a nice life. It was great knowing you. You taught me something about myself. You taught me something about DS. I got something from this I didn't have before. Whatever it is you got from that DS relationship, acknowledge it, internalize it, and move on. Okay? Now, when I say move on, because I have to tell at least somebody every couple of weeks because they ask, you know, how long is this supposed to take? Y'all, we talked about it in the DS breakups episode, but I will say it again. Grieving the death of a relationship takes as long as it takes. There's no time frame for how long this is supposed to take. I got an email from somebody. The way they carried themselves and the way they explained their situation, all I could think was, that's a strong submissive and that's somebody that I admire. I know nothing else about them other than this little bit and I admire them. Because they were saying, you know, I'm still going to work and I'm still being the boss I'm supposed to be. And I'm still taking care of my kids and my vanilla life. I'm holding it together. I don't know how, but I'm doing it. But when I'm alone and at night and when I allow myself to think about it, I'm falling apart. And their question was, how long is this supposed to take? Because I think it's taken too damn long. I totally get you. I feel you. I was there. I have been there. And the worst part, I can't tell you how long it's supposed to take because it's going to take as long as it takes. The thing I told that person, because I felt like I could relate to that person, like as if they were similar to me and we're all different. So we all handle things differently, but they felt very similar to me. I said, the moment you get to a point where you are tired of feeling like crap all the time is probably when you're ready. You're moving past that, the sadness and the depression part of your grief, stages of grief. And now you're pissed off and you want this to be done. I said, when you get to that point, it's probably safe to say that you're kind of over it. Kind of over it. Remember from the breakup episode, it comes in stages and it doesn't go in order. Okay. Some days it'll be great and you'll accept it and it'll suck, but you'll feel more yourself. And then something will happen. You'll hear a song on the radio or you'll, you know, hear that tone of voice. You know, I know it was very dangerous for me. The first little bit after that last breakup, I couldn't really be around BDSM stuff. Strong dominance, deep voices, couldn't do it. It was painful. And then there were points after that when I thought, well, I'm fine now. I would react to it, right? It was one of those moments. So it will go that way. But there's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed that the relationship is over, especially if you thought that this one had potential. But what I don't want you to do is to take every ounce of responsibility on yourself. Sometimes nobody's at fault. It was just two incompatible people, two incompatible lives. You know, you live on the Atlantic coast, you know, the East Coast. They live on the West Coast. You both had kids. You could never make time to see one another. Online wasn't enough for you. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with either of you. It's bad timing. I believe personally in soulmates. Do I believe that we only get one? I don't know about that. I truly don't know about that. My mother was married to my father for 22 years when he died. I was 22 when he died. Yeah, 22 years. Okay. They were married 22 years when he died. It was not a perfect relationship. There was a lot wrong with it. I look back on it and go, I don't know how she stayed. If he were still alive today, they would still be married. A few years after he died, she remarried. On some levels, my stepfather and my father would be polar opposites, but on the levels that are clearly important to my mother, they are very much the same. Her devotion to both of these men that have been in her life is, from an outsider's point of view looking in, equally as strong. She would kill and die for those men. If my father was still alive, it would be him. He's not. It's now this new man. I say new. They've been married 11 years, but you know what I mean. Actually, yeah, 11 years. The depth of her feeling is no different. When she talks about either man to me, I mean, she'll talk to me about my dad, she'll talk to me about my stepdad, I still hear it in her voice, okay? I hear that love, I hear that connection. I don't understand it, y'all. That is not the person I would pick for myself. and he knows it. But I respect her choice, right? And I see how he makes her life better. I see how she has grown and blossomed under him. So do I think in her own way, she found the two men who were perfect for her in her lifetime so far? Absolutely. Do I think that if you find this amazing, great love of your life, kink or vanilla, y'all, and it ends, okay, they die, timing is bad, whatever it is, you know, in your heart of hearts, you both know, and it's one of the most excruciating, painful, and yet correct decisions you can make. Do I think that you are now doomed to only kind of love people after that? No, I don't. I don't think that at all. Do I think that love is easy? No. Do I think it's just growing on trees like, you know, leaves? No. you have to work for it. And sometimes you have to go through a bunch of crap before you come across the person that ignites some sort of flame inside of you. And I don't mean just sexual desire. I mean, well, I do think that's important. It's this spark. It's this thing where you can't get enough of them. And you feel more alive when you're with them. But at the same time, and this is the hardest part to sort of see when you're in the middle of it, you are more yourself when you're with them. You have the freedom to be who you are, even when you fuck it up, right? Like, I have the freedom to be the snarkiest, sassiest, brattiest, most outspoken, opinionated bitch of a baby girl to John Brownstone. I can be that way. I have that comfort level. He is going to accept me no matter what crazy shit comes out of my mouth, right? that he accepts me. And I knew it almost from the beginning. I didn't believe it, but I knew it. That being said, it's a DS relationship. He accepts it. He doesn't judge me for it. However, there's an expectation of how I'll behave. So just because I can say something doesn't mean I do. But I know that I can. I know that there is nothing about myself that I could reveal to him that would cause him to reject me. Okay? Could I say something that would make him confused? That would make him go, I didn't know that about you. I'm not sure how I feel about that. That's strange and different. And are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. But ultimately, would he still love me? Would he still want me? Would we still be together? Would we figure out a way to make it work? Yes. That's the kind of relationship that, if you're willing to work for it and you're willing to look for it and you're willing to wait for it, you can have, if that's what you want. And I always want to qualify that because not everybody wants the same kind of relationship as everybody else. Okay. But for those of you who go through these DS breakups, amicable or not, right? Legitimate, or they just wandered away and apparently got lost and forgot your number and you don't know where they are either. However it came about, if you're left feeling like it was all your own fault, I want you to rethink how you see your part in a DS relationship and how you see your dominance part. And there's a power exchange, y'all. I get it. You know, you consent to allow your dominant to have control. So therefore, there are times it feels very uneven. You know, there's an imbalance of sorts. However, that is, what's the word I want? That's not completely real. That's not exactly how it is. You have as much, if not more, power in a DS relationship. Just because you give it away and you say, here, I will hand you my power, doesn't mean it's not yours to take back, right? So at the same time, you also don't have the full responsibility in the relationship. It's equally shared, okay? You share the power exchange. Your dominant takes because you gave, right? Your dominant accepts control because you consented to it. And at the same time, you both share what happens in that relationship moving forward. Ideally, you both put your best effort forward. You both do your best, even when it comes out wrong and fucked up and there's a fight or there's a misunderstanding or there's hurt feelings. You work through that. And ideally, you're hand in hand, you know, down the road doing whatever your kinky fun stuff is, right? However, if the other person says, I don't want to do this anymore, very rarely is that completely about you. It might be partly about you. It might just be that they wanted somebody who looked at life differently than they did. They wanted somebody who had, you know, have different goals than you do. Whatever it is, they want something different, okay? You can respect them or not for that, depending on how they behave. To me is how much respect they should be given. But it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you if they leave, if they don't want to make this work anymore, okay? It actually has very little to do with you. It is about them. It's a choice they're making for what they want in their life. And after you cry and scream and drink copious amounts of wine, that's what I did, and you can get some perspective on it, what they've done is they've freed you up to go find somebody who can give you what you want and what you need and you can build something with, okay? And I do want to caution you because I feel like I should say it because I know there's a dominant out there thinking it right now because I can hear y'all out there. What you think you want is not usually what you end up getting. And I've said that before, y'all. You know, I think I said it earlier in the show. You know, you think you want these things in a relationship and then you get into the relationship and usually when you find a good partner, whether it's a forever partner or not, you find, oh, I thought I wanted to wear a collar 24/7 and kneel and crawl everywhere, which is part of what I thought I wanted. And then you find out, oh no, I really just want to be tucked in bed at night and I want my ass to be spanked. And, you know, I don't really necessarily need a collar, but I'd like a bracelet. I don't care about jewelry. I don't want to be naked all the time, whatever it is. You will find that what you think you want and what you really want when you're in the relationship can be completely different. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go after what you want either, that you shouldn't think about what you want, because that will help you find a partner. It will. Just go back to what I said earlier. If you keep going after the same type of person or the same type of dynamic or the same type of situation over and over and over again, and it always ends badly, it may be time to try something a little different. I have a friend. She is baby girl like I am. When we get together, the baby girl vibes are very strong. We are kind of sedate in public. We're very conscious of vanilla eyes. So we whisper, and our baby girl things are, you know, whispered behind, you know, hands and all that good stuff. But when we feel free, there's a lot of squeeing. There's a lot of giggling. There's lots of hugging. We're very baby girl together. We feed, that vibe feeds off of one another. And she said to me, I can't find a daddy. You know, every time I think I find a daddy, oh no, I don't want that one. Or I want that one, but it doesn't work out. And I finally said, well, I said, where are you going to find a daddy? And she told me where she goes and who she looks for and how she sort of discerns who should get her attention. And I said, do what feels right. But I didn't even know I wanted a daddy when I got one. And the daddy I got didn't think he was a daddy. So I said, what if you don't look for the title? What if you just look for the traits in the person? Are they gentle? Are they nurturing? Are they kind? Yeah, they might be strict. Maybe you like that. Maybe you don't. But are they these other, they have these other attributes. And she's still kind of working her way through and figuring out what she wants. And she's come across some people and it's worked and then it hasn't and all that. There's still all of that. But it gave her a new way to look at it. You know, she knows what she wants with the type of person she thinks she wants, but she was having bad luck because she kept going after all these daddies who were not acting very daddy-like. And so she started just looking at people who consider themselves dominant that have the traits that she thinks she would most like. She started having more success. It was a whole different pool of people to try. So, you know, when the relationship ends and after you've grieved, and after you're sort of ready to kind of look around and go, do I want to keep doing this again? Think about how many breakups you've had, what they have in common. If the only thing they have in common, don't say that you are the only thing they have in common, y'all. I know. I mean about the other person. If they all have the same title, if they all have the same build, if they are all the same, I don't know, race, whatever it is that links them all, just allow yourself to be open to something different. You don't have to, you know, get on FetLife and purposely, you know, you've been going after white men who call themselves daddy. That doesn't mean you have to go after, you know, Hispanic men that call themselves master. I mean, you don't have to purposely change up. You just have to be open to the possibility is all. And to those who worry that maybe you're not cut out for this, I just want to go back to what I said earlier. And something I've said in many shows about listening to your intuition and how you feel deep down. Do not let somebody else's rejection of you color how you view your life and what you do moving forward, okay? Their rejection of you as a submissive or as a partner, or as a lover, or as a spouse, it doesn't have as much to do with you as it does with them. About what they want in life, what they need, what they think will make them happy. You know, I know you're thinking, but I would make them happy. I know. I swear I've been there. But they don't believe that. So they'll either find out that they're right or wrong, and that's on them. Now it's about what you do. And if you think that maybe submission's not for you because it's too painful, I can't tell you what to do, y'all. I don't want anybody to be in a DS relationship that does not wholeheartedly want to be there. But I also don't want you to feel forced out of something that when it's good, brings you fulfillment, brings you joy, brings you peace. Okay. So what I would say is think about how you felt when it was good. And what I mean when it was good, when the relationship was moving along fairly okay, think about it. There's a lot in submission that's not great. Okay. Getting out of the bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to make John Brownstone a cup of coffee, not my favorite thing to do. I don't care how, you know, full my heart feels when I serve him. Being up that, you know, dark 30 in the morning, not my favorite thing to do. And yet I will still do it. Looking back on a moment where I have done something that inconvenienced me, but it served him. Usually I'm in like the middle of a paragraph of a very long, complicated chapter of a book and he needs a cup of coffee. And I do it. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I wish I was reading my book. And that was a good part. And I hope I can get back into it. Do I not do it? Of course I still do it. And even in those moments, I'm still completely fulfilled and I am happy to be able to do it. So when I say think back on your submission, I mean, think about the good stuff, the kinky fucker. Yeah. And then think about those moments where your vanilla part of your brain went, I kind of wish I wasn't doing this because I was doing this other thing, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do, because I want to do it, because I like doing it, because this is what my partner is asking of me. If when you think of those moments, your stomach doesn't get queasy and you don't think, oh my God, I hate this. You think, oh, I miss that. Dude, you're still a submissive, okay? Are you bruised and banged up from a bad breakup or from just a lot of pain? Yes, you are. And you need to take however much time you need to take to heal from that. And if that means that maybe you don't go back into kink for a long, long time, that's okay too. I mean, there's no rule that says just because you're submissive, you have to be in a DS relationship. But if you think about who you are and you think about that level of your submission and it fills you with that, oh yes, that's who I am feeling, don't let the rejection of another partner, of a relationship that didn't work out, stop you from finding that kind of fulfillment and that kind of joy and peace and love. And that's, I think, all I have to say about that. So I might've gotten a little heavy. Sorry, y'all. I worry for y'all. I'm humbled whenever you send me a message about your breakup, about your feelings, about your questions about, did I do this right? Am I screwed up? What's going on? It's an absolute honor to read some of your backstories. Some of y'all give me crazy details and I just think, wow, this is on one level so different for me. And on another level, I get it. And wow, and this is amazing. And I can't believe this person trusts me with this. I believe that I'm trustworthy, so I'm not gonna, spill any secrets or anything. But I just kind of wanted to put the message out there that those things we believe about ourselves when we're in pain as a submissive, they're not true. They're very, very, very rarely is a relationship entirely, the breakup relationship entirely our fault. If you can name all the things you truly did wrong and how you violated every single rule of relationships and of your DS, dynamic, okay, then yes, you're going to need to accept the blame for that. But if it was just that person wandered off or they said they couldn't do this anymore, or you fought all the time and it wasn't worth it anymore, that's not about you, okay? That's about how you and this other person fit together. It's about that other person, but it's not, you don't bear the full responsibility for the death of every DS relationship you've been in, okay? You are enough. You are not too needy for the right partner for you. I promise you, there are some dominants. If I explained to them how I, need John Brownstone, they'd go, oh Lord, I can't handle that. That's okay. That means they're not the right one for me. John Brownstone can handle it. And when I do get to a point where I am bordering on too needy, he can say, okay, baby girl, you need to calm down. And I don't feel like I've been stifled as a human being. I go, ooh, yeah, I might've gotten a little greedy there. Okay. And then, I calm down. And then a week later, I go back to being my little needy baby girl self. And he accepts that about me. Those things that we tell ourselves we're too this, too needy, too much, whatever. What's happened is you haven't found the partner that accepts that about you yet. Okay. The hardest part is going to be to accept it about yourself first. If you can do that, I think you are better off when you come across different partners, because you can go, you can't accept this about me. That's cool. Have a great life. This was fun. I'm going to go, I'm waiting for the one who can. I can't tell you how to do that. I needed John Brownstone to help me figure that out about myself. But if you can, I think you're going to be several steps ahead. Okay. Apparently I have plenty I could say about this topic, but I will stop. As always, if I raised more questions than I answered, if you completely disagree, or if you just need to go, yes, you said it, I've been thinking it, and yes, feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Twitter more than anything, for whatever reason, at Kayla Lourdes, but if you're not on Twitter, no big deal. I do have a Facebook page, Kayla Lourdes Author. You can message me there. I do check that like once a day. FetLife, of course, or you can email me. If you're thinking, oh no, I want to talk to John Brownstone, you can do that too. Not a problem with that. So yeah, that That's all I have to say about that. I think John Brownstone will be with me next week. I have no clue what we'll be talking about, but I think he'll be back next week. I hope so. If not, this apparently the fall season is craft fair, woodcraft, wood turning, making pins kind of the season for that. So it might be a little hit and miss over the next few weeks, but I'll do my best to drag him into the comfy chair so that we can do the show together as often as possible. So yes, there will be a bonus section. I actually took notes so I would remember what I wanted to tell you because I forgot stuff from last week. So if you're interested, hang out for a few minutes and we'll do that. Otherwise, keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week. Okay. Is it just us? I think it's just us now. Okay. So, and it's really just me and the dog who keeps looking at me like, bitch, are you going to take me out for a walk? No, I'm not. So officially, we're in the bonus section. I hope I wasn't too ranty in that last episode. I don't think I was. I didn't mean to be. I do feel like I was a little scattered, but hopefully I got my point across and I didn't make anybody's ears bleed or anything like that. So here we are in the bonus section. I don't want to take up like a million years of time. Last week's bonus section to me was just like I lost all my energy. And right now I'm just getting warmed up. So I don't know what happened. But there are things I want to tell you. So first of all, you know, all this, ooh, buy this stuff and become a patron and ooh, here's my videos of me getting my butt spanked, right? Right now, all of the proceeds that go to that go to me going to Eroticon, the sex blogger and writer conference in London, March 2017, OM freaking G, right? So I have news. I have registered for Eroticon. And I have booked my hotel. The hotel probably gave me the biggest headache because the hotel I wanted, which is exactly right next to, literally right next to the where the convention will be held, was up to $300 a night. Oh, hell no. So then I had to start looking at less expensive options and they were hostels. And yeah, y'all, in America, we don't exactly have a lot of hostels. We have bed and breakfast. We have motels and hotels. And I know what a hostel is, but it's not common in the States, right? And my image in my head of a hostel is a bunch of backpacking 20-year-olds who are traveling, you know, Europe, and they just come for a night and it's kind of dorm-ish. Well, when I was looking at pictures of some of these hotels, that's exactly what it was. And I didn't like bunk beds when I was 20. Guess what? I'm in my 30s. I'm almost 37 and I don't like them now. So I had to get really picky and I got very lucky. One of the very first ones I looked at that really caught my attention, the price was really good per night. For my entire stay that I've booked so far, it's still less than one night at the hotel I really wanted to stay at. So hello, that's great, right? The bedrooms are super, super, super cute. And if you follow me on Twitter or your Patreon or whatever, oh yeah, you'll totally get to see pictures and video of this because oh my gosh, the rooms are too cute. And I was able to request a room that had a private bathroom so I don't have to share it with a stranger because I'm sorry, I can barely like poop when I travel anyway and I go to my mother's house in Mississippi. I'm not sure what would happen if I traveled out of the country, across an ocean without my daddy, and then had to share a bathroom with a stranger and still be able to poop. Okay? Like it would not happen. And I can't believe I said that word twice in one show. When John Brownstone listens to this, if he ever does, he is going to scream with laughter and then look at me and go, baby girl, did you just say that? Yes, I did. Being able to do that word I will not say for a third time is very important. And I will not have a stomach ache for 4 days in London because I had to share a bathroom with a stranger. Me who has social anxiety, I'm not even sure I'm going to talk to all these people. But damn, I'm going to go. Even if I just stand there like a mute and don't say anything, I'm at least going to be able to go back to my hostel hotel room and be able to go to the bathroom in peace. So there. Anyway, the rooms are so super cute and I booked my hotel as well. So I'm kind of in freak out mode because that means I've kind of committed to this. If I don't go, I'm out. It's about, with the exchange rate between Great Britain and the US, I would be out about $220 from the registration. And, you know, it would hurt, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. So now it's, okay, I have to get enough to buy the plane ticket so that I'm not buying it at the last minute, because that will send me into a panic. And no, I'm not spending $2,000 on a plane ticket, when right now I'm finding tickets at around $1,000, which I knew that was going to be what it was going to be, before taxes, before this, before that. So that is what I'm working on. I'm going to segue that. I think I'm about to have an advertiser for a few weeks on the podcast. It's not set in stone. I'm not going to name the company. They're, you know, they ask for a price quote. They say they're really interested. It's not official till I actually get paid and I have a commercial for a company in the podcast, right? But if they go for it, that advertising that they want to purchase for me on the website and through the podcast will pay for about almost half of a plane ticket. Plus all the other monies that I'm earning, I might be able to get my plane ticket earlier rather than later. And that freaks me the hell out, but it is very exciting. The cool thing about that particular advertiser, if they go through with it, and you'll know, cause I'll start, you know, pimping them out on the show. I have tried one of their toys. They want me to try others of their toys. I have tried one of their toys and I really, really liked it. Like really liked it. So I will make sure, if they do advertise, that I pimp out that link, because it's a really cheap toy and it was like really good. So the other thing I wanted to share in this little bonus section, I'm sure there's a million things I could share, but I made a list to try and be organized this time. Hopefully that, you know, has worked in my favor, is what I've been thinking about this whole membership side to the website. Because there's all these other things that I've been wanting to do. And I was, you know, kind of freaked out because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to build a separate part of a website or a whole new website to make this work. And there's money involved to make it work. And would anybody even want it? And now, because somebody said, please take my money, and I couldn't in good faith take their money and not give them something in return, I was forced to very quickly put something together that may be able to work for other content. I have an idea for a free, F-R-E-E, y'all, 30-day email thing about DS to help single Kingsters and Kingsters in relationships learn more about themselves as Kingsters, to help start conversations with your partner if you have a partner. And it would be a free, like daily for a month email thing. And then after that, I kind of want to introduce some educational content about communication, about exploring your kink, about different ways to play, in a way that's a little bit more in depth and personal and real life than you sometimes get from a quick blog post or even an article I write for some of the sites I write for. I can't write all the words that I would like to fully explain a topic. Nobody is going to publish that article unless they themselves are trying to sell or give away that kind of content. So I thought, well, what if I created videos, and talked about this, and would there be some value in that? Because it's not just about, ooh, making money to pay for a podcast or the website. This is being Kayla Lords in my professional life is a big goal of mine. I feel like I have something to share and to contribute to certain Kingsters. Not every Kingster follows me, has any interest in me. They're like, no, I'm here to play. I want to learn about rope. I want to learn about knife play. I want to learn that. I know those aren't things I can share with anybody, because I participate in them, but I don't dive deep into them enough to turn around and explain them to somebody. But when it comes to relationships and communication and working with other individuals and people and human to human contact, I have opinions, I have experience. I certainly have methods and ideas and things that I think can help other people. The question in my mind is there monetary value in that? Do people want that badly enough that they would pay for that? And so that's the grand experiment. And I have had it on my plate and had it on my mind, and I've map some things out and plan some things. And then I've stopped because I thought, oh my gosh, in order to put this together, there's an expense that I'd have to put out to make this work. And then nobody might buy it, and I've lost this money, and I'm out, and what am I doing? Well, now with this membership side to my site, which right now is one little video, y'all, that's all there, because it's just the first video. It's not even a good video. It's like this blurry, blurry thing that just makes me cringe every time I look at it, because it's blurry, not because of what we did. I have room to play with that, to see if people want this content, and if it's good enough that people are like, yeah, I'll pay you a few bucks for it. So we shall see. So I don't know when I'll do anything with that or how I'll do anything with that, but it moves me a little bit closer to the goal of writing about, thinking about, talking about, educating people about kink as I see it full time. And it's a long goal. It's one of those that it's not a 6 month goal. It might not, I'm hoping it's a 2 or 3 year goal at this point. If I can do that, then I'll think I have accomplished something. So yeah. So when I set this up for people to watch the little spanking videos and to pay for access in an easier way, my wheels were turning. I was thinking, okay, how am I going to be able to use this in other ways? Let's find out. So it's all a work in progress. I'm losing my word. Y'all have been talking for over an hour. I don't even know my own name anymore. But there it is. And that's what's going on. And that's me for this week. And that's all I got. So y'all, if you hear me say anything and you go, ooh, that's batshit crazy, it's okay to tell me. Just be nice about it. And if you hear me say something, you go, ooh, I would love that, whatever it may be, it's definitely okay to tell me that. Feedback really does help. Sometimes I feel like I'm yelling out into the void, and then I'll get a message from somebody from, like, they're listening to episode 23 or something. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're listening that far back. I have a couple people who say, yeah, I've been binge listening to all your episodes, 2 or 3 a night. One person messaged me and said, yeah, we drove for 8 hours and or 11 hours and we listened to you the whole way. And I thought, oh my God, you are an amazing, amazing individual, because John Brownstone loves me to distraction and he does not want to hear my voice for 11 hours. So, wow. So yeah, it does help actually to get feedback. I mean, I beg for it and I ask for it and I encourage it, but it really, it lets me know I'm not just shouting out into the void. And I take constructive criticism, constructive, y'all. The, you said this and I see what you mean, but here's how I look at it. And I might not agree with you, but at least it gives me feedback and I like feedback. So, okay, I'm done. Now I'm officially rambling. This went longer than I intended, but at least I didn't jinx myself and say it wasn't going to. that's it for me. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. He's not here to say it, but I know he means it. We love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for staying to the end for the bonus section. See you next week.